Today is the seventh day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's wonderful to be here with you today, and every day, as we gather each day to do what we do, take the next step forward. And that always leads us to where we left off so that we can take the next step forward. And that leads us back into the book of 1 Kings, which we're just getting moved into. King David is nearing the end of his life. There has been some drama about who will take his place when he dies. That has turned out to be Solomon. And so let's pick up the story. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, verse 2 today. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Now you yourself know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of Israel's armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He killed them, shedding their blood in peacetime as if in battle. And with that blood he stained the belt around his waist and the sandals on his feet. Deal with him according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead, and let them be among those who eat at your table. They stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember, you have with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death by the sword. But now, do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do to him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood." And David rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. Bathsheba asked him, "Do you come peacefully?" He answered, "Yes, peacefully." Then he added, "I have something to say to you." "You may say it," she replied. "As you know," he said, "the kingdom was mine. All Israel looked to me as their king. But things changed, and the kingdom has gone to my brother, for it has come to him from the Lord. Now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me." "You may make it," she said. So he continued, "Please ask King Solomon. He will not refuse you to give me Abishag the Shunammite as my wife." "Very well," Bathsheba replied. "I will speak to the king for you." When Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, the king stood up to meet her, bowed down to her, and sat down on his throne. He had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat down at his right hand. "I have one small request to make of you," she said. "Do not refuse me." The king replied, "Make it, my mother. I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given in marriage to your brother Adonijah." King Solomon answered his mother, "Why do you request Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? You might as well request the kingdom for him. After all, he is my older brother. Yes, for him and for Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if Adonijah does not pay with his life for this request. And now, as surely as the Lord lives, he who has established me securely on the throne of my father David and has founded a dynasty for me as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today." So King Solomon gave orders to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he struck down Adonijah, and he died. To Abiathar the priest, the king said, "Go back to your fields in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I will not put you to death now because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord before my father David and shared all my father's hardships." So Solomon removed Abiathar from the priesthood of the Lord, fulfilling the word the Lord had spoken at Shiloh about the house of Eli. When the news reached Joab, who had conspired with Adonijah, though not with Absalom, he fled to the tent of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. King Solomon was told that Joab had fled to the tent of the Lord and was beside the altar. Then Solomon ordered Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, "Go strike him down." So Benaiah entered the tent of the Lord and said to Joab, "The king says, 'Come out.'" But he answered, "No, I will die here." Benaiah reported to the king, "This is how Joab answered me." Then the king commanded Benaiah, "Do as he says. Strike him down and bury him, and so clear me and my whole family of the guilt of the innocent blood that Joab shed. The Lord will repay him for the blood he shed, because without my father David knowing it, he attacked two men and killed them with the sword. Both of them, Abner, son of Ner, commander of Israel's army, and Amasa, son of Jether, commander of Judah's army, were better men and more upright than he. May the guilt of their blood rest on the head of Joab and his descendants forever. But on David and his descendants, his house and his throne, may there be the Lord's peace forever." So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and struck down Joab and killed him. And he was buried at his home out in the country. The king put Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, over the army in Joab's position and replaced Abiathar with Zadok, the priest. Then the king sent for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but do not go anywhere else. The day you leave and cross the Kidron Valley, you can be sure you will die. Your blood will be on your own head." Shimei answered the king, "What you say is good. Your servant will do as my lord the king has said." And Shimei stayed in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, two of Shimei's slaves ran off to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath, and Shimei was told, "Your slaves are in Gath." At this, he saddled his donkey and went to Achish at Gath in search of his slaves. So Shimei went away and brought the slaves back from Gath. When Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned, the king summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, on the day you leave to go anywhere else, you can be sure you will die? At that time you said to me, 'What you say is good, I will obey.' Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know in your heart all the wrong you did to my father David. Now the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing. But King Solomon will be blessed, and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord forever." Then the king gave the order to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck Shimei down, and he died. The kingdom was now established in Solomon's hands. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Acts 5. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Psalm 125, A Song of Ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay, so we're just a couple days into 1 Kings, and we're still really at the beginning of the book of Acts, so let's just kind of keep up with the territory that we are moving through. Today, as we were reading in 1 Kings, we said goodbye to somebody that we have become friends with. We've gotten to know pretty well. We said goodbye to King David. He breathed his last and joined his ancestors in death. And we've been moving along with David for a long time, all the way since 1 Samuel, getting to know Saul and then getting to know David and then watching David ascend to the throne and all of the drama and David's family, the missteps that he made. And yet his heart, as big of mistakes as David did indeed make, his heart was after God, and he repented of his sin and was a man after God's own heart. So, we haven't heard the last of David. We read David's writings in the Psalms, and David is a figure that is very prominent until this very day in the Hebrew culture, and so we will hear references to King David throughout our journey through the Bible. But as far as the narrative of David's life and his reign as king, we said goodbye. David has died, And so Solomon is now on the throne, and we were able to witness that some of the drama of the transfer of power between David and Solomon did not go smoothly either. But Solomon is now firmly the king of Israel. And so we will move now, as we move forward, into Solomon's reign and get to know him. And then as we're reading through the book of Acts, this emerging church era, everything that comes after Jesus ascends to the Father, we see that many are drawn to the message of reconciliation, the message of forgiveness of sins, the good news of Jesus coming. And so daily people are coming, and daily they're gathering in the temple complex near Solomon's colonnade, and people are finding healing, and they're also finding resistance. And so the Sanhedrin is calm and warned the apostles not to use the name of Jesus, not to teach in this person's name. And they are arrested, and then they are freed miraculously, and they just go right back to doing what they were doing, which is teaching the people about Jesus. And so they are confronted by the high council, and the high council reveals itself like, you keep doing this and you're trying to make us guilty of Jesus' death. You're trying to make us look bad, basically. Stop teaching in this person's name. You're confusing everybody. You're filling Jerusalem with this. Of course, the apostles are like, look, we have to obey God. That's the thing you're supposed to be teaching us. We have to obey God. And the high council wants to do away with the apostles. They just want to get on the bandwagon of stamping out the name of Jesus so that it's lost, so that its memory is forgotten. And there's this man on the high council, his name is Gamaliel, famous teacher, very well respected. In fact, later on, the Apostle Paul talks about a teacher named Gamaliel back in Jerusalem. Gamaliel speaks to the council and essentially tells them wisdom, which is like, you're up in arms about all of this. But think of the different people that have risen up in our history and caused rebellion or caused unrest. They've all disappeared. And if these men who are teaching about this dead, crucified Jesus are making this up, doing this all on their own, then they're gonna fade away too. But my brothers, if this is of God, nobody will be able to stop it. We'll end up fighting against God. And this gives us some clues to the discussions that were happening around this name of Jesus, this message of Jesus. Some were totally convinced that this was evil and needed to be stamped out, including this Saul who becomes the Apostle Paul. Others had actually heard Jesus, and although they were afraid of the cultural implications if they announced they were a follower, they still were. And others like Gamaliel were saying, look, these things come, these things go. God is in this, then we don't want to find ourselves on the other side of God. If God is in this, nothing can stop it. And we see the joy among the apostles, among the early believers, just to be associated with the ridicule that Jesus underwent, that they had all seen, just to be associated with that. It was a badge of honor. And through all this, we see the Holy Spirit in surprising ways, protecting his children and moving the message forward. And this is how the faith, this is how the gospel began to take root and spread throughout the land. And Father, we are grateful because we stand here today reading of this time, and we are the recipients of the repercussions. The good news has traveled forward for these thousands of years and has landed in our lives and is transforming us. And it is your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells in us and empowers us to navigate our time. So Holy Spirit, come. We are watching our brothers and sisters rejoice even as they face obstacles. And that sounds like our lives. We face obstacles too, and we have the opportunity to invite you into all of it, rearranging the ways that we look at things, changing us to look outward beyond just what we are experiencing, and to see your work in this world and our place in it. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base, and that is where you can find out what is going on around here. And the Daily Audio Bible app does that as well. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at your app store. And then when you're checking things out, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. We introduced some really, really high quality snapback, like ball caps, a couple of months ago, and those are being loved really well. And it's springtime and it's like ball cap season. I wear a ball cap pretty much every day, no matter what season it is, but it's that season. So we got those snapback hats on sale while the supplies last, and that includes the special edition, the camo edition. And those, well, they will be available as long as they last, but they won't be available after this month, no matter what. So you can check those out in the Daily Audio Bible shop in the lifestyle section. Sport your colors. Wear your colors at all of the festivities of summer and all of the sports and games. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the Global Campfire is a source of hope and life, then thank you deeply and humbly for your partnership as we navigate the summertime. There is a link on the homepage at DailyAudioBible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. My name is Tamara. I'm calling from Northern California. I'm calling with a blanket prayer today over the DAB family, but especially I want to reach out to those that are heavy in their heart and their mind is racing and they've been carrying around a lot of things that need to be put at the feet of Jesus. And so I want to pray for you on today. Father God, I just pray that you meet your children at that point of need. You know exactly what it is that they need on today, whether it's an emotional need, mental, physical, spiritual, or perhaps even financial. You know that need. And I pray, Father God, that you meet them there and you will supply that need. I pray that whatever they ask for, Father God, in your name, you will bring it to pass. Because you said, Father, in your word, you can do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ask for or think according to the power that lies within us. So may we all stand firm on your word today, trusting you, believing you to deliver on your word. Be encouraged on today, family. God hears your prayers and he will answer. God bless.
Hi, DAB family. It's Lisa calling from the East Coast. I also go by Philippians 4:6 on the prayer wall. Thank you so much for your continued prayers about my healing from cancer. I've had a kind of rough time the last month, but it's just been amazing to see God just get me through every day. I would love some prayers about nutrition and just God helping me continue to eat and not lose weight. It's been a little bit harder recently to not feel nauseous by different foods, and I'm just praying that God helps me find food that's nutritious and that doesn't make me feel nauseous, and just to kind of get that excitement back about food. I also would love some prayers about joy. I've just been asking God to show me kind of some of those moments of joy in everyday life. And it's been pretty amazing. God has allowed me to go on some short trips with friends recently, and I've really enjoyed that. And it's just been really, really cool to see that I can walk with a cane right now, something that I wasn't able to do a few months ago. I also planned a trip abroad for a week in a couple months, and I could just use your prayers that God protects me in advance of that trip, and if it's meant to be, that He just continues to help me get stronger. My oncologist okayed the trip and was saying that's a great idea. So I'm just going to keep praying, and if it's something that's meant to happen, it will, and I'm pretty excited about just having kind of like a break from cancer and some adventures that don't relate to going to the hospital or going to the emergency room. Thank you all so much for all your prayers. It means a lot that you're thinking of me, and I'm thinking of all of you as well.
Hi, my name is Sherry Youngward. I've been a longtime listener here at Daily Audio Bible, 17 years, I believe. And I think I've called in 4 times over those years. This morning, I was having a hard time getting out of bed, and I was listening to the Daily Audio Bible and listening to the prayer requests, and kind of had a gentle tap on my shoulder. Why don't you call in and ask for prayer? So that's what I'm doing. I have been in full-time ministry for over 25 years, traveling and stuff, and now I'm doing mostly things from home. I say that because I've had some health things, type 1 diabetes, that's the insulin kind. But I've been dealing with something new for about 3 years, and it just seems to be getting worse. I've had tests. I was in the ER last week, had a CT scan. And anyway, nothing shows up, but the pain is getting worse. And so I would just love to ask for prayer for this pain, for a miraculous healing or a correct diagnosis. And and I would love that, and I know you'll pray. And with a few seconds left, Lord, I just would like to pray for the Hardin family, Lord, that you just continue to bless them, God. Make them mindful of the little schemes of the devil. We don't fight against flesh and blood. I pray that you'd overcome and bless them in every way, Lord. Pray for Victoria Soldier, Blind Tony, all the listeners, Lord, right now, that you just bless them and give us all a fresh revelation of you, Jesus. We love you so much. Pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Karen in Florida. Just calling in. Heard Philip speaking today about his marriage. Just wanted to pray a little bit for that. So, Lord, I do thank you for Philip and his humbleness to call in and confess to us things about his own struggles in life and where he's at, Lord. And I pray for his wife right now, Lord God. I just lift her up to you and ask you to protect her mind, Lord, from the enemy. I pray that you would open up her eyes and her ears to see and hear your truth that is all around her, Lord God, and that she would not be taken in by some sort of extremity that may want to bring confusion and division in her marriage, Lord God. I just pray for complete healing of this marriage. I pray for restoration, that this marriage would be a mighty testimony for you, Lord, that many would come to know you through the testimony of this husband and wife and what you're going to do there, Lord God. Father, just help Philip to be strong through this, never give up, but to keep his eyes on you. And I thank you for bringing brothers into his life who can help him to get through what he's going through. And I just really ask, Father, that you would bring good Christian women into his wife's life who could love on her like a sister, and just help her to know your love and your grace and all that you have for her family. And I pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus, and thank you again. Amen.
So today we finish the Gospels, and I just want to thank Brian for honing in on Jesus' last words, where he says, "What is that to you?" And he's talking about what happens to John's life. What is that to you? As for you, follow me. I thought about the landscape of the church right now and how we look at the culture, how we look at the church, even how we look at our own families, our sons, our daughters. We tend to focus on the wrong thing and ask about their lives, right? What about their lives? What about the sin that they're engaging in? And in actuality, the mirror of Jesus' word says, "What is that to you? As for you, follow me." And if we're following him, that means that we're living out the gospel and that we are sharing the major theme of the gospel, which is redemption, the redemption of Jesus, the redemption of our lives, that all is redeemable, that every person is redeemable. And when we take off our focus and look at how people are living their lives, then that is not what Jesus wants from us. So I just want to thank for that revelation. Thank Brian for honing in on that. And just give a word of advice to the church out there, to all of us believers. Let's keep the focus on the redemption of Jesus, that all is redeemable in the major theme of the gospel. And let's not forget also that we're going to suffer a little bit. We're going to suffer for the gospel, and we got to share that too. This is Delta Alpha Foxtrot calling from the Central Texas Front. Give a shout out to Blind Tony, our poet laureate. I just want to say thank you for all you do, brother.